Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Quick update here. A P1 listener, Greg, says, I heard you all talking about the Brett Favre-Mark Gastineau saga. I just heard about that yesterday for the first time. They're coming out with a documentary on ESPN, 30 for 30, that Mark Gastineau, who was a member of the New York Jets in the 80s, held the single-season sack record until 2002 when Michael Strahan broke it. But on the final sack late in the season when Strahan broke the record, people thought that Brett Favre took a dive basically so he could get the record. So in the documentary, it turns out that Gastineau saw Favre at a card signing. They were signing helmets.
This was
confronted him.
It was last year, the card signing.
Okay, so he went up to him and said, you really hurt me by doing that. We heard the audio earlier. So Greg says, I don't know if you saw Brett Favre's statement yesterday. I can't remember if I saw it either on Facebook or on X, but he has apologized publicly to Gastineau and admitted he laid down for Strahan and didn't consider how it would affect Mark Gastineau. Regrettably, a jackass walked in where I work and started asking questions, so I didn't hear if you guys mentioned it or not. We did not. I didn't know that part of it.
No.
That Brett Favre has admitted that he took a dive there and never even thought about how it
Well, now you have to go run and confront Strahan. Now, Strahan has to talk about it on his show, GMA, or during the football shows on Sunday.
Well, I don't think Strahan has any fault here because all he did was make a tackle. I mean, he just went in.
He was just trying to get to the quarterback.
Right. Yeah. He was trying to get to the quarterback, and the quarterback lays down. You just put your hand on his head.
Unless they planned it.
Oh, I hope not. Ooh. Oh, big kids. Now, there's a conspiracy for you. Then
late in the game when it's decided, I'll lay down.
Ooh, you can't.
You come in and get me.
No, you can't do
I'll
that.
I'll call weak protection on the tight end side.
I feel like it was just Favre spur of the moment going, all right, I'm going down. Yeah. He can
He was
me.
Coming right at him. I think it was a smart move, honestly.
Well, he was coming right at him.
Yeah.
And now the speculation was yesterday that they designed a poor blocking scheme and Favre told everybody in the huddle, just let him have me. You know, I'll go down. It'll be easy. We'll give him the sack record. There was like a minute left in the game.
Yeah.
And it was the last game of the season. I don't think the Giants were going to make the playoffs, so it was the last chance for Strahan to get it. And he did. I mean, he got the record. But even the next day on talk radio, everybody, all the sports,
everybody
was saying, oh, Favre laid down for Strahan. And nobody really seemed to care. It was like, okay. But as Favre said, I didn't think how it would affect Mark Gastineau. Gastineau has had, and Chris Dim looked this up, terrible problems in his personal life. He's had
and his health,
substance abuse and health issues.
Legal issues.
And it's been terrible for him. I remember, he was dating, and I guess, did he marry Brigitte Nielsen at the time?
Wow. Brigitte Nielsen. Iconic actress.
Brigitte Nielsen had dated or been married to Sylvester Stallone. And Gastineau dated her. And Gastineau was a pretty big star back in the 80s. I mean, he was a well-known defensive player. Mm. Who would he equate to today as a defense? Bosa, one of the, like, Joey Bosa.
Okay, so he was like an end coming around.
Yeah, he was on the line and a sack specialist. That's really what he did.
And his personality was big.
Okay. And he was New York. And they had that great nickname, the New York Sack Exchange, which is one of the best.
Yeah. He had really long hair. He played with really long hair.
Which was
a little different.
Yeah, and you could see the hair coming out from the helmet.
And he may have been like the first sack dancer.
Yes, he would do a sack dance.
Oh, yeah.
He would do like the dance over the quarterback. Yes,
you're right. I'm not sure.
One of the earlies to do that. And when I would go into a sports, a sporting goods store, they used to sell posters all the time. And I remember one of them was like New York Sack Exchange, and it showed all four of them like walking up to the line. And there were some Gastineaus in there too.
Great marketing.
Did you do posters? You're too young for posters.
I had some posters, like band posters and stuff.
You should have, man, you ought to go into Spencer's if you want some good posters.
Oh, yeah. Big weed leaf.
Yeah,
baby.
And women models on sports cars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where we used to get our posters and all. And then I would get into sports posters, too. My first John Elway over at one of the sporting goods stores, the Randolph Mall. And
you didn't want it. You wanted the weed leaf. But
I'll
take the Elway.
So I just
not old enough to buy it.
I just took the Elway. Speaking of weed leaves. A P1 said, I heard you all talking about cigarette butts as litter. And he says, I have a great idea. There should be a deposit and return system for cigarette butts to encourage those who drop them on the street to save them in their ashtrays to get money off their next carton of cigarettes. Kind of like the old system where you take a bottle cap in or a glass bottle and recycle it.
You know, that's interesting because I don't know. I was in the Philadelphia airport earlier this year, and they actually have a spot where you can put drugs that you happen to have on you before you go to TSA.
Really?
There was looked like a place where you put mail, like a post office
like box. Like a no questions asked.
Yeah, exactly. It was green, and it was like, hey, if you got weed on you and you don't want to have to go through TSA, put it here, and no harm, no foul.
Really?
Yes, it was the weirdest thing.
Well, that's probably a smart thing to have. Yeah, now, where does the weed go?
I guess the TSA smokes it, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, they have a weed leaf poster in the back.
Yeah, right. That's a good idea, too.
I agree, yeah.
What about this guy's idea? Because there, I mean, if you were to walk down the street, you're going to see 1,000 cigarette butts. Even though smoking is way, way down, people still throw their butts out the window. And cigarettes, of course, are very expensive because they're taxed so high. If you could bring in your used cigarette butts to throw away, and let's say for every 100, you get a free pack of cigarettes, what do you think?
Well, maybe R.J. Reynolds or Philip Morris needs to develop a biodegradable filter. That would actually work out. But yeah, I kind of like that idea.
But that lets the good, that lets the bad stuff right on through.
If it biodegrades. If it's biodegradable, well, it's going to be right to your lungs. True, it won't filter out anything. Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, if I'm Johnny Shopkeep, I don't want BB Shea walking in with a bucket full of cigarette butts. I don't know where those things have been. What am I supposed to do with them?
Well, you throw them in the trash. I mean, all you have to do is throw them in the trash. Yeah, true, you know, but you got to count them. You got to, it's got to be forever.
That's lipstick, AIDS, lipstick.
Yeah. You got to go through them with a
fentanyl.
You got to get yours.
Someone's got weed in it.
I don't want that crap in my store.
I didn't think about the fentanyl angle.
Yeah.
There's no bad ideas here. You know, I've come up with these types of things. I remember I came up with Sleep It Off before the Uber campaign.
Yeah, before Uber was a thing.
You know my Sleep It Off idea?
No, I never heard this.
You don't know my idea. This is a great idea. This is
the Kelly Hotel.
We're three fat bearded guys, your predecessor, when I had this idea. I said, now this is before Uber, okay? So I thought, if you've got a long night of drinking downtown and you can't drive home, then we should have a hotel with like 6 rooms in walking distance of these bars. And I called it Sleep It Off. And as soon as you put your credit card into the key slot to get into the hotel, the credit card becomes your key. It becomes your key. It charges you $50. You go inside. The only thing there is a bed and a toilet and a sink. You can sleep it off, but you have to leave in only like 12 hours. So you get it from midnight to noon. And if you ever open the door and leave and it locks back, that's it. You're done. You have to pay again another $50.
Okay.
Now, Chris Demrup dubbed it the rape station.
Which really killed the investors.
Killed the marketing. Yeah. I had investors
fled.
I had them lined up here. I had investors lined up. And as soon as the word rape station went around, that was it.